2018's White House Correspondents' Dinner was mired in controversy owing to the stand-up set by comedian Michelle Wolf. Perhaps not surprisingly, she also has a Netflix show that just debuted on Saturday, and we have a lot of thoughts, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
You guys know, this is Hungry by the Wolf. Hungry like the wolf.
Hungry like the wolf,
because we're talking about Michelle Wolf, stand-up comic who has a brand new show on Netflix, kind of in the vein of The Daily Show, or John Oliver, or Samantha Bee, or Conan, or Kimmel, or Fallon, or Sarah Silverman's show, or Andy Cohen's. There's a lot of talk shows. It's a very original idea to put a stand-up at the helm of a talk show talking about issues, but the thing we have to ask this week is, did Michelle Wolf do a good job of carving out her own niche? That remains to be answered. We're going to get into it in just a minute. But before we do, let's introduce ourselves, guys. My name's Jeff. You're tuned into TV Pilot Reviews, where we review pilots. We don't review series. We review pilots. For those of you in the comments who are like, you should do the whole show, we might, let us know. But on this show, we're reviewing the pilot. Let's make that clear. I'm Jeff, as I just said, and I'm surrounded by a group of brilliant panelists, including Linda Antwi.
Hi, guys. Linda Antwi here.
And D'Angelo Platt. Hello. So we're talking about Michelle Wolf's new show, The Break with Michelle Wolf. And as I mentioned, it's one of the many shows that puts a stand-up comedian at the center and lets them talk about stuff that's happening. Chelsea Handler had a show on Netflix. I feel like, well, and Joel McHale. There really are a lot of these, aren't there? I think in terms of this is a Netflix show, as I mentioned, and I know that when Netflix was first exploring this territory, people were kind of like, how does a streaming service do non-evergreen coverage? Like, how do they do shows that are topical? And I actually liked Chelsea's show. I don't know what you guys thought, but
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I was over her at the time it got to Netflix, though.
Fair enough. We had gotten a lot of Chelsea. But before we give our overall thoughts, let me just let you know what the premise is, because I think that will sort of inform our overall thoughts. The Break with Michelle Wolf is expected to take a break from the seriousness of late-night comedy. And instead of making the news fun, she'll make fun of everything and everybody. There will be no preaching or political agenda, unless it's funny. Let's give our overall thoughts. We are going to start with D'Angelo Platt.
Okay, well, that's an interesting description. It definitely had a political agenda. I'm not upset about the political agenda.
Right.
And it was funny. Mm-hmm. I have no exposure to who she was, so this is my first impression. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. It was funny. I left.
You left? So you're a fan.
I wouldn't watch the next episode.
So you're a pass, which is fine.
But I would say people should watch it.
Fair, okay.
I too was not familiar with her at all, and I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was like a fun little break.
Yeah.
I don't know if I necessarily will watch all of them. Like, I'm not waiting for them, but if I'm not doing anything and I want to just be entertained by things that I think about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I actually thought that. I thought that too. Then I'll totally watch it.
You can check in. It's like one of those I can check in shows.
Yeah.
For sure.
And and what I thought was great was that the timing of it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that 27 minutes was just enough.
I agree.
Before I was about to be like, okay, wait a minute. This is, you know what I mean? Like, it was quick. So overall, I'm not a pass, I'm not a play, I'm kind of like, I'll get to it when I get to it.
That's
but
fair.
I'm definitely a play for other people, like, be exposed to her, she's funny.
I'll tell you what, I'd follow the Instagram account to get the sound bites.
That's good, that's a good way to put
it. I do that with Daily Show too. So.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those shows where we normally do pass or plays. This is a little different because there's no end in sight, right?
Right.
It's just the show is on indefinitely, so there's no need to necessarily tune in every week.
Yeah.
Then again, I feel like I'm the person who might be tuning in every week. I really, for the most part, enjoyed this pilot. I think some segments definitely worked better than others, I think, and we're going to get into what we think really worked and what didn't. I also got to say, in terms of trying to zero in on their goal, I don't think they did that at all. I think for what the show is on paper, this show is not that.
But were they being facetious?
Maybe. I kind of don't think so, though. Like, I think I can picture her going to Netflix and saying, listen, Daily Show does politics. John Oliver does politics. We're going to do just a funny break from your week.
About politics.
About politics.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like it's necessarily thematically fresh. But I will say, these shows ultimately adopt the point of view of their main host. That's ultimately what they are. They're just a distillation of the host's point of view. And I think Michelle Wolf has a very interesting point of view.
I agree.
So, an interesting voice.
And a very interesting voice.
That was an adjustment. That was an adjustment.
This is, It's something.
Yes.
It's funny. Everyone's like, it's sexist if you think her voice is annoying. And I'm like, her voice is pretty annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's okay, but I like that they made a joke about it. I wish she did it in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're like, what is this? Yeah, she always calls it out, which is smart. And, you know, a lot of great stand-ups, like, well, RIP, but Roseanne is an example of a stand-up with a very terrible voice and recently terrible opinions.
Roseanne.
Yeah. But okay, so it sounds like we're all on around the same page. Here's one thing I will say. Here's an important tease, guys. You can see that Sam Davidson is not here this week. Sam, we miss you.
Sam.
Hi, Sam.
She put together a little video for us. So for any of you naysayers who don't agree with us and might not have liked the show, stay tuned because there's someone in your camp, and that's Sam Davidson. And we'll play her video at the very end, Bree. So if you want to just cue that up, we can play it before we make our way out.
Awesome.
And you will be seen for those of you naysayers on the show.
I just wanted to shout out Derek real quick. He really liked your choice of song opening.
Thank you, Derek. It's good to have you in the chat. We see you there. We'd love to know your opinion, whether or not you're a pass or play. Let us know.
Yeah.
I think I'm being long-winded, but I'm a play for both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even though the show isn't really doing what it maybe set out to do, I like Michelle Wolf enough to keep tuning in. So the very first thing we got in this show was the monologue, which is a classic start to any show.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this was far and away the strongest segment of the show.
Really?
Personally.
Okay. Yeah. What did you guys think?
I would say it was a little too long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a little bit. It was good. The first topic, the NFL topic, I liked, obviously, I liked the way she touched on it, and I liked her humor behind it. I think, not to get too long-winded on this, but when it comes to talk shows, is the person likable? She's likable for me. So, I don't know if it was the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that her monologue was good. I agree with you. I think it was a little too long for someone who I'm just being introduced to you.
Yeah.
And I get that you're funny and you caught me with the NFL stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was super funny, by the way.
Yeah, it was good.
But then you kind of went all over the place because, you know, the White House correspondent and all of this. You could have just tailored it, but also it's her first show, so I think that, you know, you iron out the kinks in your pilot episode.
For sure.
Yeah.
One thing I liked about this monologue was I feel like it kind of gave us the thesis statement of sort of her worldview, which is like a very unique form of feminism, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some women have called her out for not being supportive of women, and that's something that kept coming up in the show is like, it's hard to be a woman because you have all these expectations and, like, quote, responsibilities, and sometimes you don't want to embrace those.
I think that was probably one of my favorite segments.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was because it was different.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
The thing that was done, and I was like, oh, no, I've never seen this before.
Super funny.
Yeah.
So in this monologue, the way she sort of introduced that was she was talking about Miss USA.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was such a funny take on pageants. And I want to tread lightly because there's a lot of really brilliant, beautiful women who do pageants and love pageants, but she's not a fan of pageants. And I tend to agree with her. Like, I'm the kind of person who, if I have a daughter one day and she really wants to do pageants, I might be like, well, let's talk about, like, what, why, and, like, you know. But her quote was, Miss USA is a great example of how weird it is to be a woman because I want women to do what they want to do. I just wish this wasn't what they wanted to do. Look, if you can get money showing your body and you're comfortable with that, good. And you're comfortable with that, good for you. Get your money. But also have another skill just in case of an emergency. Like, you know, age. It's like really funny.
Yeah, it was. That was a great soundbite.
Yeah.
Like you said, the monologue was a great thesis statement to understanding who she was.
Yeah.
You always like a person more if you agree with what they're saying. So, like, there's that bias for me. But the way she delivered it, I can tell this was in her comfort zone, like the monologue.
Definitely.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about sort of the continuation of that theme in the desk segment we were talking about. But before we do, I want to tell you guys about another podcast. That's Maria Menounos' podcast, guys. She's our AfterBuzz TV founder. She's brilliant. She's beautiful. I know she's competed in pageants as well. So an example of how there's a whole multitude of opinions on pageants, and she's an example of an incredibly smart, poised woman who also does pageants, or used to, at least. That's kind of how she got started early in her career. But Maria has a podcast where she will talk about health and wellness, beauty, relationships, finances, career, anything you'd want to hear. And that podcast drops every Friday, guys, so you can check that out. You can subscribe. If you're into this content, I'd say you'd also be interested in what Maria has to say, because she's another example of a whip-smart lady with a lot of opinions. So that's Maria's podcast, Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Again, it drops every Friday. If you want, you can hop on iTunes and let her know your TV pilot review panel sent you there. But that's Conversations with Maria every Friday. Check it out. D'Angelo, I want to hear your take on the desk segment because we were just talking about that.
You know, it's funny because I'm trying to remember stuff from it.
It was like the sports mash.
Oh, yeah. That was, I think the segments were cool. I liked the commercial thing, even though I feel like they beat it a little bit too far down.
I want to come back to that commercial.
We'll get to that. The desk segment was cool because I liked her self-awareness of the familiarity with this. Mm-hmm. I like it started with like making a joke about it. Like, just cool. Like, I like, because a lot of shows want to make it seem like their show's different, but she's like kind of pointing out how, yeah, this is the same thing that every other talk show does,
right.
Which was cool. And then how she used her segments, I think her producers did a great job with those segments. Those were really like doing something similar, but in a very different way can be really hard.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
I like how she used it as transitions, like her monologue, and then she was on the couch, and then she was on the desk.
I'm at a desk now.
Yeah, like all of that. I loved how she...
The ladder.
The ladder was hilarious. Yeah, like, what? Reading a book. Ridiculous. But I also really loved the fact that the sports smash was not a sports smash at all.
Yeah.
And then I loved the fact that she still knew about sports because she opened with the NFL. So all of it was like brilliant. Because you really had to think about what she was saying and really be tuned in to what's happening in the world today. Mm-hmm. And then also have an opinion because she has an opinion, whether you agree with her or you don't agree with her. She was making some very solid points, but being super funny about it.
So we talked about this before, but the Sarah Silverman show that was on Hulu.
I Love You, America.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I'm still watching.
Both of them are similarly, like, I would say feminist, liberal, but this one is a little bit more easier to digest. Mm.
I feel like it's more fine-tuned. Yeah. I think we were talking about that before. I feel like it's fine-tuned, and like I said, that 27 minutes is like a perfect amount of time. And I feel like this has more of a direction. Like,
I agree.
Even though I've only watched the pilot, I kind of see where she's going because, like you guys both said, she laid down, this is like my thesis, this is what I'm about, who I am. And with the other Sarah Silverman show, I just felt like it was all over the place because she is so multi-talented that she could go anywhere, but I wasn't sure what.
Like, and that long intro.
Yeah, like what was your direction?
I
sort of think, I agree with you guys and I don't agree with you guys. Mm. I think that the maybe production and the flow of segments was a little more polished on this show. But I think the overall objective of this show feels a little hazier to me. Like, I know Michelle Wolf is funny, and I know I'm going to enjoy tuning in to hear her takes on things. But I don't quite know how to pitch this show to someone, because it's not quite The Daily Show, but it's also not quite Samantha Bee. I think, like, I'm not sure I quite have an idea of the identity of the actual show. Mm. Whereas with Sarah Silverman's show, I knew exactly what she was trying to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think the show felt, their pilot felt a little sloppier in terms of the polish of segments and production.
Right.
So I think the shows are sort of maybe thriving in other areas where the other shows are falling.
We're just talking
about the pilots, guys. That's what we do on this show, but that's kind of part of the conversation.
The description you gave was interesting, but that's probably maybe something we'll see further down in that she's open to making fun of everything.
Yeah.
But we definitely, like, I don't know how she wouldn't be able to show her personality and her opinions in these, like, monologues if she's writing it, you know?
Right. So I do want to talk about, in terms of the desk segment and her opinions and making fun of everyone is what I want to continue on. I liked how, again, this idea of, like, what does it mean to be a feminist?
Mm-hmm.
And does it mean you need to support every woman? She gave five examples of different types of women: liberal, conservative, dinosaurs. Like, I like
funny.
How nothing was off limits and it didn't necessarily feel politicized.
Right.
She was just calling out, for lack of a better word, pardon my French, just calling out shitty women.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I'm laughing when you bring it up because I wrote it down. Do women have to support other women? She asked the question and she's like, no, here are five women I'm not supporting right now.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious. It was great. I was like, go ahead.
And that was right before she gave her little feminist, like, like blurb or whatever. And then I loved it with her friend being number one was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what you did.
That's how the segment ended. Yeah. I want to talk about the pre-tapes last, I think.
Okay.
Because...
Is that the commercials?
The commercials, yeah. Because I want to talk about... I liked the idea of bringing on Amber Ruffin. I like Amber Ruffin. She sometimes appears on Seth Meyers' show. I'm not sure this worked super well, personally.
I don't know her. Is she a comedian as well?
She's mostly a writer. She sometimes appears on Drunk History. And Seth Meyers does a segment called Jokes Seth Can't Tell. And it's just like, if he wants to talk about like black issues, he'll bring Amber on. It's awesome. It's like, it's a really funny segment. And I like the inclusiveness of it.
Yeah.
So she writes for his show.
Okay.
I don't know. This, for me, in theory, this was going to be great. And in delivery, it didn't really work for me.
Go ahead.
There were some funny moments. It felt it, that was the only moment where I felt it felt staged. Like it felt like they were reading, or like they were maybe they were uncomfortable, or maybe that's just how they are. But I felt a little uncomfortable from it, even though I had moments when I left.
I felt like, and now it makes sense because I wrote my notes that Michelle was a writer for Seth Meyers as well, so they know each other very well.
Yeah.
And so when she brought her on as a guest, and they kind of acted like, oh, you're just a guest.
Yeah.
It was weird. Like, it felt like, do you guys know each other or you don't know each other?
Yeah.
Because I feel like you guys know each other, but you're acting like you don't.
Right.
And then so it was awkward for me, but now that makes sense. Like, that's your girl and you guys are writers together. And okay, got it.
My issue with this is I think whenever you bring on like a co-host, you want to really do a good job of pairing personalities that don't necessarily.
I agree.
So, like, on Chelsea, they'll bring on Fortune Femmeister, who I don't know if you guys know, but she's this, like, very, very funny, but, like, super butch, 300-pound comic.
Mm-hmm. Like a contrast.
A total contrast to Chelsea. Or if you look at, like, on Conan, he has Andy Dick, and they kind of have a very different energy.
Yeah.
Whereas Michelle Wolf and Amber Ruffin are almost the same.
Yeah. That's what
It was
too much of a good thing.
And, like, the voices.
And the voice thing, too. Too much.
And they called it out, but it was... I mean, like, I feel like I'm patient with that stuff, and I was like, whoa, this is a lot.
I think they'll learn from that, though.
Yeah, I do, too. It's just funny, because in theory, you'd think that pairing a white comic and a black comic would lead to a lot of potential, but that they were so similar to me. Like,
yeah, they were the same person, really.
Yeah, I sort of felt that way.
Same, like, that's why I was like, that's your girl. Like, why are you guys acting weird?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
normal.
Yeah.
So I think I like the idea of bringing on, like, foils, but make sure it's someone who's actually, to me... is a compliment to Michelle rather
than actually drive your point home more. Reminds me of the days when like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert would talk to each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
they got the point across, but it's contrasting styles.
Yes.
But it hit us stronger.
Even bringing on a guy might have been interesting, I think, in that case.
Yeah.
I'm sinking.
You are. I was like, what is going on?
For those of you podcast listeners, you might not know what I mean when I say I'm sinking. And that's because we also have a YouTube that you could be watching. So if you're listening in the car right now, you're driving, I'd encourage you guys, hop on YouTube. You can look at their beautiful faces, my meh face. You can check us out there.
He's humble.
And you can leave a comment down. We have some people in the live chat right now. But basically, we want you guys to engage with our network. That's what we do. We're the conversation network.
Mm-hmm.
So hop on iTunes. Rate us if you like our show. You can put suggestions there. Just we're always trying to make our show better. So guys, reach out. Let us know what you think. We have a YouTube and a podcast.
Yes, we do.
They're both wonderful. So the only thing we have left to talk about are these pre-tapes. There was sort of this runner with an Amazon Alexa commercial, and there was also a pre-taped trailer about a strong female lead.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with this Alexa commercial. Not so hot on this, personally.
If they did it once, I'd have been okay with it.
Yeah.
They did it three times. They really liked the joke, I could tell.
They loved the joke.
The lunch meat thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, for a show that seemed thematically linked through all these segments, I was like, what is this, like, 10 minutes of this show about a piece of machinery that loves lunch meat?
Yeah. They loved the joke. I agree.
They loved it. Someone pitched that, and they laughed for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and
we
then,
have to put that in the show.
And then they reversed the joke, and I was like, okay.
The concept is good. I like the breaking up the Netflix thing with commercials, but if you're going to do it, more variation, please.
Yeah, I agree. And just, I love a weird joke, but I think you have to somehow sort of tie it into what you're talking about, just because it was like, either go weirder or tie it in for me.
Hmm.
And this was the other weird thing I noticed. They didn't have the audience hearing the video. Like, if you watch pre-tapes on SNL, you'll still hear the studio audience laughing at certain parts during the pre-tape.
Yeah.
Because they'll screen it for the audience and then still record their reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Either those did not play well at all for that studio audience, or they didn't include the studio audience on those pre-tapes.
Yeah.
I mean, which I think is a mistake.
They wanted to feel like a real commercial. I got that. I understood that part of it, at least.
I would have rather it felt like it was part of the show.
Okay.
Personally.
I liked how they used it as a transition, too, though.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And so, because it's kind of ridiculous if you think about, you're also making fun of the shows that we do watch where we have to actually sit through commercials, even if you're streaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
like, the ridiculousness of all of that. So,
I got
that from watching those.
Uh-huh.
And then also, too, like, if you guys stream your shows, it's always the same, like, one sponsor. So, it's the same commercial every time. So, like,
yeah.
I know I'm going to take a bathroom break because this is going to be the same three commercials and I'll get back in time.
That's super smart.
So I think it's a little bit of that stuff because it is the same commercial, non-commercial on streaming at least. And then I thought the Geico part, which it wasn't really part of this commercial thing, but she did mention it, was super, super funny.
That was hilarious.
And then she's like, and that's probably going to be the next commercial.
I know. That's a really good point, Linda. They might have been satirizing the like saturation of the same commercials we see over and over on streaming.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
It was still too much.
It worked better for you than it did for us, it sounds like.
Yeah.
The one thing that did work for me for the most part was the strong female lead
trailer. Yeah.
I think the thing I liked about this was it was, again, thematically linked to all the sort of feminisms we were talking about during the episode. And, well, I'll let you guys talk first. What did you guys think of this?
You first.
I thought it was hilarious because, we are looking for a strong female lead. Not maybe necessarily for me on Netflix per se. But they tackled that on Netflix. And I just thought that it was ironic because they're like, oh, well, we wrote this for a man. But then
we used to find and replace.
Yeah, and replace with, what was the name? Chelsea, I think, or something really ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I just loved the play on that part of the feminism as well as like, oh, I have this beautiful, long, flowy red hair and that's my power. You know, all of that.
Right.
Was funny. It was a good play. It's really well written, in my opinion, and very smart jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing that was really interesting for me about this was not only was it a smart little bit, but it's an opportunity for Netflix to kind of self-promote.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there was sort of some Netflix in jokes, which I liked. And you can sort of feel the corporatization behind that because we got that on Chelsea sometimes, too. But after I watched Michelle Wolf's show, I had a whole queue of recommendations for things featuring strong female leads. So I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That might have been an initiative from the higher-ups. But Late Night has to do this, where they'll say, you need to incorporate Ciroc in this episode. They're paying for this. Make it happen. And so when Netflix asks you to incorporate, they'll say, here's what you do. Make it funny. That's the job of comedy writers, I think. And I think, I'm speculating right now, but I'm wondering if Netflix wanted to tie in, and I think they handled it well.
I bet you're right, because now that I think of it, she mentioned Netflix verbally twice in the in the time frame.
Right.
Like, this is Netflix. We can say whatever. Watch. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And then she mentioned it again. So, yeah, you're probably right.
Definitely.
That's probably part of the package deal.
Cool. That's about all I've got.
I found something in an article I was reading, and I want to get your opinion on it. It's about Netflix in general,
cool,
not just specifically the show. It said, seems that it's not about different or better content so much as to ensure that it has a reasonable facsimile of all the content, every type of show, so no one ever has to watch anything else.
I see that.
Yeah. That's one thing I was going to add about what we were just talking about. I'm okay with them incorporating Netflix because she was able to criticize them.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that. And that kind of ties into that. Like, she was talking about how Netflix has the same type of shows, like 8 versions of the same type of show.
Right.
And yeah, Netflix definitely does that because Netflix is replacing cable. So I don't think that's a bad thing. You think that's a bad thing?
I don't really have an opinion of it. I think that when I first thought of Netflix, I thought new and exciting content. Like original content. But then when I was reading this, I was like, wait, yeah, they're kind of doing what cable does too. Like, you have a little bit of everything, which makes sense because you want to grab all the audience you can.
Right.
But at the same time, like,
It's a little Big Brother.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, just in the sense of, like, it's clear that they're trying to kill the other. They're trying to kill traditional television.
Yeah.
I mean, if they keep putting out shows as good as they are.
They will.
And that and stealing all these people from cable.
Yeah.
Shonda Rhimes and what's the other guy's name?
Ryan Murphy.
I mean.
Well, this feels to me like they're Samantha Bee. Yeah. I mean.
There you go.
Ooh, that's interesting. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Is Netflix getting too big? Too big to fail? I don't know. Bree just pulled up Sam's video. I want to hear. She has a different take than us. So we're going to, for those of you guys who have been frustrated by our positive opinions, this is a time to tune in.
Hey guys, Sam Davidson here. Sorry I can't make it tonight, but I wanted to make sure that I sent in some thoughts about the episode of television that we are covering this evening. So if you guys don't know, I'm also a stand-up comedian and I am a writer as well. So really excited about the show, featuring a woman in the forefront, kind of a Tosh.0 feel, or that's what I was expecting. And I think maybe because I am aspiring to one day do something like this, I was a little bit harder on it than some other people, so at least I'm recognizing that. With that being said, okay, we don't need to comment on everybody's looks, okay? Fat shaming is an annoying thing, just shaming in general on people's looks. I don't even really think we need to talk about it. I think the best way to stop people from doing it is to stop talking about it. So, I really didn't like that part of it, even though I get it. We were shaming terrible men, essentially. But I didn't love it. I thought the jokes could have been a lot smarter. To me, this was a show that was quote-unquote feminist, but was also anti-feminist in so many ways. I thought it was playing into the tropes that many people think about feminists and, you know, that they say about women, especially funny women, women in power. Let's just show them what we can do and not make fun of it, making fun of it, making fun of it. I don't know. I honestly think maybe I missed the point. I have obviously heard of the name of the comic, Michelle Wolf, but I really haven't seen much of her stuff. And in all honesty, I feel bad saying this because I feel in a way what I'm doing right now is what I didn't like about the show, which is shaming some women, and I'm not trying to shame her. It's obviously a huge, huge, huge accomplishment that she did this, but I didn't dig it. I didn't dig her kind of comedy. I thought that she needed a co-host, a female co-host. I'm not saying a male co-host, a female co-host that could kind of balance her out, and I thought the jokes were cheap, and I didn't. If you're going to do a recreation of a commercial, like a farce, like SNL does, do it well. I did not like that turkey crap or cold cuts, whatever it was. It wasn't funny and to me made zero sense. So yeah, gotta cut this off, taking up a couple minutes of your guys' viewing time with three of my favorite people. But those were just my opinions. They were honest and uncensored, I guess, like this show. So I probably should have liked it. But yeah. Not so much. I don't think I'll be tuning in, but I will see you guys next week. Miss you. Bye.
Cool.
Bye.
So it's interesting. I do hear I don't know if you guys remember, but during the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the big controversy was that she made a joke that was apparently interpreted to be making fun of Sarah Huckabee Sanders' looks. Mm-hmm. And that was her thing. She's like, I wouldn't do that. That's not the important target. But then she did have a whole 5-minute runner about Mario Batali being ugly. So interesting take if you are already being criticized for cheap jokes about appearance.
You know, it's hard, right? I think Dave Chappelle talks about this, and I like the way he talks about it. When you're a comedian, your realm of criticism is a little different, or mm-hmm. I feel like your criticism should be different because you're allowed to say what other people aren't to say because it's supposed to be funny.
Right.
And you say things that make people uncomfortable because it's supposed to be funny. So right. I'm in agreement with fat shaming, like not being a good thing, but when it's in the realm of comedy and like within the context of what was happening, it makes sense to me. And like, if comedians can't do it, then I mean, people think it. Let's be real,
right.
Then why? Like, who's going to be able to say it?
That was my whole thing. Was like, if that segment, if those jokes weren't funny, I wouldn't have been here for it. But to describe Mario Batali as looking like what a tuba sounds
like, that's funny to me.
So funny. Yeah. Like, that's just such a good joke.
Yeah.
But it's a good point from Sam.
And yeah, it's a good, interesting perspective.
I would love to hear what you guys think in the comments. Let's quickly rate the pilot and then get the heck out of here. I'm giving... I always get nervous because I feel like...
Linda's going to shun you for whatever number you put
in. No, he has to go first.
I'm giving it a four.
Out of five?
Yes.
She always does that.
A four out of five.
What? I mean, you know.
You know what
he
mean?
Liked it, though.
I'm going to, and I promise you viewers, I'm going to do this because I like researching. I'm going to go back and see how he rated every show that I've been on with him.
I feel so exposed.
I know. Yeah. It's going to be funny.
You go ahead.
3.25.
Out of five. Five being perfect. I'm going to say three.
Okay. Oh, damn. Okay. Cool. Well, guys, this has been TV Pilot Reviews here on AfterBuzz TV. Today we reviewed The Break with Michelle Wolf on Netflix. I anticipate it's going to become a popular show because I think she's saying a lot of things that people want to say. So yeah. I'll be interested to hear what you guys think. Again, you can reach out in the comments, comment on iTunes, or reach out to us personally on Twitter. If you want to reach me, you can do that at Jeffrey C. Graham. How about y'all?
All over social media, Linda is so girly.
And I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'Angelo TV or on Instagram at D'Angelo.
And you can find Sam at Sam Davidson, Sam D43.
Yes.
Sam D43.
Come back, Sam. We miss
you. We'll see you next week, Sam. Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.